Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Marshawn takes down Pitlick and pounds him for a hit behind the play on Bergeron.
Yeah, puck was long gone. You know, Bergeron tried to make a steal. He was kind of reaching back behind him as it, and he turned to his left, and there was Pitlick who buried him, and Marshawn saw it. He wasn't going to allow that to happen to his captain.
People don't yet pay to get into the building to see Rem Pitlick. They pay to see Patrice Bergeron.
You don't hit our captain late. That was a 3-second late hit. I love the fact that Marshawn made the guy pay a price for doing it.
Oh, baby! Kind of a fun one last night between the Bruins and Canadiens. Bruins win again because, of course, it's what they do. They never lose. Despite me getting on the bandwagon, they never lose, Mego. It's not what they do. 4-2 last night at TD Garden, the only appearance for the Canadiens in Boston all season long. How do we feel about it? Our thoughts on the game, we'll get to it with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Jones and Mego with Arcan here till 6 on a Friday. Is it fair to say it was a fun game last night at the Garden? I usually don't get into the fun nature, the fun aspects of games, but last night, some highlight reel goals. Like, the DeBrusque goal was beautiful. Mm. Pastrnak goal was great.
The Bertuzzi goal was stupid.
Bertuzzi goal just clanged in off a bunch
so
of people.
Stupid. So dumb.
That was wild.
Swayman was great.
I never seen a goal like that
before. Swayman was great. Swayman was really good last night. Two power play goals. He was under siege, so Swayman was really good.
I think he wanted to fight everybody also. I was waiting for that.
And Marchand did fight. Marchand throws down. If you missed this, I don't know how you did. Maybe you were locked in on college hoops like I was last night. I was flipping back and forth. Maybe you were locked in losing your college bets like I was all night last night, which we can get to coming up later on. But, you know, Bergeron gets hit late by Pitlick. Jack and Brick are laying it out there on Nesson. And, you know, I think we're exaggerating how late it was, but the puck's definitely gone. Bergeron's not ready for it. The hit's up high. He gets dropped. Bergeron clearly doesn't like it. Like, Bergeron gets up and is like, what are you doing? And Marchand just beelines over to him and pummels him. Which is what makes it fun. Like, last night was fun because as talented as the Bruins are, don't you kind of feel like that's been lacking with them all year? And it does get me wondering a little bit, do they have the toughness and the grit to go on a two-month run? My answer is, yeah, I think so. I think they have it. They definitely have the skill. And it's like a weird juxtaposition from what the Bruins normally are. Normally, they have all the toughness and the grit that you could possibly want, but do they have the high-end skill? Now they clearly have the high-end skill. Clearly. Do they have enough toughness and grit to go on a two-month grind to Lord Stanley's Cup? I mean, I think so, but isn't that one of the questions we have about this team, or am I wrong to ask it, Mega?
Well, it might sound a little stupid, but maybe like the fight shows a little bit of edge. Like Marchand flying in there and looking like he wanted to kill Pitlick. That's his name.
Oh, he
right?
did.
Pitlick.
People
Pitlick.
Don't yet pay to get into the building to see Rem Pitlick.
Not yet. I like how Pitlick. Jack gave himself some wiggle room, but not yet. No one's paying for that.
Well, he
no.
didn't want Pitlick showing up, you know, in the dressing room after the game.
Wear
to
that
say,
scarlet
hey,
letter.
It's a good point. It's a good
People
point.
People don't come here to see me. People don't come here to see you, Jack Edwards. the only other, I guess the only dissenting remark I'd have here is, so Pastrnak gets his 49th goal, mm-hmm. ties for a career high. He had a lot of chances for the 50th.
Oh,
and
yeah. I mean, the Bruins had good chances last
night. Incredibly focused on the 50th and was whiffing all of them, I thought. Like, really just, he was like, oh, another, oh, Pastrnak, almost, you almost had it.
Almost.
You almost had it. And I was like, okay, I get that we're at the point in the season, we're past the point in the season where the Bruins are playing with their food and just, like, effing around. But this is a little ridiculous.
So, I am curious about that. And I know they have some guys who play with edge. I mean, Marchand's clearly one. Last night is the perfect example of why I love Marchand. World-class player who is just not afraid, at the drop of a hat, like no hesitation, to stand up for a teammate and stick up for a teammate. Now, look, it's Bergeron. You know, everybody looks out for Bergeron on this team. I just think Marchand would do that for most of his teammates. But the way he acted there, maybe with a little extra urgency for his buddy and longtime line mate Bergeron, maybe
his
that
captain.
Factored into it. His captain, as Monty said there after the game. But when it comes to the Bruins, like Marchand plays with edge. You know, Bergeron, I don't know how much edge he plays with, but Bergeron is hard on the puck.
He
and Bergeron,
plays with dignity.
Sure. He plays the game the
respects
way you want
the
to.
Game.
Yeah. Like when you go through a handshake line with him, you can look him in the eye and say,
firm handshake.
Damn it, do I respect you in the way you play.
Oh.
That is true.
Damn it, that's the complete player.
Like Greer plays with edge, but he was a clown last night, cross-checking Hoffman right in the face.
That was like the culmination of that whole period. That period was wild.
That was an insane escalation.
It really was.
It
McAvoy
was like,
and Evans,
clank,
that
clank.
Whole thing.
Now I'm going to drop you.
Bertuzzi plays with edge.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Do the Bruins have enough of it, Arcan? Like, that's one of the things I was thinking last night. I'm like, yeah, you out-tough the Canadiens. They're the Canadiens. I mean, they're the soft... flopping team.
They had a guy flop in one end of the ice, and it led to an odd man break the other way,
like
which
the,
I think led to a goal.
They're the finesse team, right? And last night played out that way in some ways. Montreal got both their goals on the power play. The Bruins' power play was ass again, 0-5.
5-minute major.
So, you know, great, you out-toughed them. Do they have enough toughness and grit to go on a 2-month run, Arcan? Like, that's one of the things I came away wondering last night. If you're asking me, my answer is I think so, but I still want to see it.
Yeah, and it's something that I think in a season where there's been very little to kind of criticize is a fair question and something that you can look at and say, you know, there's been times where this team looked really good and had a really good playoff run and got to the end and got pushed around and got bullied around. And it's not even always at the end. Sometimes you get that in the first or second round. That's the way a lot of Bruins seasons have ended in the past 10 years. And that's just a fact. I mean, that's a fact of life. And, you know, other factors play into it, of course. I do think at some points they run out of gas. I do think at times they just showed that they were kind of lifeless after a long playoff run. But there have been plenty of instances where they just get bullied around and don't have that sort of answer. And it's not all about fighting, and they don't need, you know, Sean Thornton to put the skates back on and go out there and swing. I don't think, you know, those calls start coming and you can't stop them. But it is sort of just a way of playing.
No, and I'm happy you said that. And just to be clear, we're already getting texts at 37937. Like, Jones, I very rarely see fights in the NHL playoffs. No, true. I'm not talking about fights, and if I didn't represent that properly, then shame on me. I'm talking about Marchand pouncing on Pitlick. But I'm talking about scrums in between the whistle and getting guys off your guys and responding when you need to respond and being a tough physical team, not getting out physical, not getting out toughed, having that edge and that grit. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about fighting because that's not going to happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Do the Bruins have enough of it? 617-779-7937. It was on display last night. I liked it. It was a fun Bruins game. How many times have I come in the next day and said, boy, that was a fun one last night. That was a fun game at the Garden. It was. Do the Bruins have enough of that when it comes playoff time? They clearly have the skill, which is just a weird place for the Bruins to be based on where they've been over the last 5, 10, 20, I mean, really in their lifetime. In the franchise's lifetime, they're usually the tough physical team with edge, but maybe not enough skill. Now they have it. Do they have the other thing? 617-779-7937. The other question is, how well are the Bruins playing actually these days? They get outshot again last night. Canadiens are taking it to them. Swayman, I don't want to say, is standing on his head, but Swayman is under siege at one end of the ice. while Montreal is on the power play and Greer's putting him in a bad position and everything else. Let me hear Jim Montgomery after the game last night on the Bruins' lack of energy.
Again, in both games in the third period, I thought we've played the right way. We're very loose before that. Happy that we got the 2 points. It's a tough league to win in. And I know we've won a lot this year, but it really is. And with the schedule as challenging as it is right now, we're playing 4 games a week, and it's 4 and 6 nights consecutively for 5 weeks. So we're not going to have the most energy we usually do have. I don't think we skated very well tonight, but it's understandable at times. But you got to give credit to those guys. We find a way to win hockey games, and it's not an easy league to win in, and we find ways to do it.
He's not
That's
wrong.
That's the positive side of things.
Sorry there, Monty. He's not wrong about that. He's
hey,
not
easy
wrong.
There, Jonesy. Hey,
sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes there, Monty. But when it comes to your snowshoes, when it comes to the Bruins and winning games, he's right. I mean, they do continue to win games. They do. How well are they playing, Mego? Because I feel like it's been a couple of games now where they're getting outshot and the opponent is more aggressive. Even when they're inferior teams like Montreal last night. The Ottawa game was the same way.
Yeah, you hear him there. And I think he's doing a lot in terms of keeping his team, I don't want to say humble, because at this point you can't be humble with the season that they've had. But making sure that they know that just because you're winning and you're getting freak goals from Bertuzzi, like bouncing it off a Canadian.
Yeah, plinkoing their way in. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what do you call the... The arcade game where
pinball?
You flip
pinball. Pinball, yes. Pinballing. Yeah, pinballing. I went with Plinko. Pinballing. Yes, yes, yes.
That's what I thought it looked like. You saw the little like thumbs I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you play pinball, right?
I got it, yeah.
Anyway, hockey. It's a way of, I think, reminding them that, you know, just because you get these freaky goals and you're up, you know, 2-0 in the first period or whatever, and you're clearly the more talented team, like sometimes the score in these games is not always reflecting how the team is actually playing, which, to as he said, is loose, is sometimes a little sloppy, is especially on the defensive end, I think still has some concerns with the style of play that they have that is so offensively minded and speed minded.
Yeah, no, look, I just don't feel that they're playing their best right now. And maybe some of that is what we're talking about with the Celtics, too. You're getting a little bored with it, although at least the Bruins have a carrot to chase. Like, they have an all-time record to chase if they want it. They're going to get the President's Trophy. But they can get the most points, most wins in NHL history. Like, at least they have something they're still chasing. I wonder if they're getting a little bored by it, or I wonder if they're just looking at it and saying, we don't need to have our A game to beat Montreal and Ottawa. We can have an off night and play for half the game against Buffalo and beat them 7-0. So, you know, I wonder if that's kind of where they're at. How well do you feel they're playing these days, Arcand? I know they're winning, and they're back to this winning streak now. After dropping a couple of games against the Red Wings and the Blackhawks, how well are they playing? Because I can't imagine Montgomery, he said it there, likes to see them get outshot in back-to-back games.
Yeah, and what he said that I didn't love either was he's like, you know, they weren't skating very well, but that's understandable at times. It's like, at times, this isn't a good time for them not to be skating well.
No.
It's the end of the season,
because
and the playoffs
tired.
Are about to start.
They're
I know.
Tired.
I get that, but, you know, to say, like, well, I understand why they're all tired. Like, okay, but let's sort of do something about it then, you know? If it means resting people, if it means cutting minutes, if it means whatever, then do something about the fact that your guys aren't skating well. I thought they were sluggish for most of that game. I thought that was a good adjective. And that's, you know, maybe a game that they overlooked a little bit because it's Montreal and it's not really that big of a deal. But even when it started getting chippy and stuff, I still sort of felt like they were packing it in. It wasn't a very aggressive looking game, but they didn't need to be. They still won easily.
So how'd you feel about that game last night? Bruins, not their best effort. They do get the points. They do get the victory. They play with some edge. Do they have enough of that? Do they have enough grit to do what they want to do? I mean, certainly Sweeney attempted to address that at the trade deadline. He looked at it and said, we need Bertuzzi. I didn't mention Hathaway before. Like, we need guys like that. Orloff adds some of it. You know, he's a skill player, but he adds some of it as well. Did they add enough of it? Do they have enough of it to go on a run? And they beat Montreal last night. Some fireworks at the Garden. It's the only time the Habs are here. It's the only time they're here all year. And it does feel like that rivalry is a little bit lacking through no fault of the Bruins, mostly on the Montreal side. It feels like it's a little bit lacking these days. Are you feeling the hate for the Canadiens? 617-779-7937. We can get to that. If you want to talk Bruins, I suggest you get in there now because it's a bit of a choose-your-own-adventure on the show today. We'll follow where the calls are, but I do want to get to the Patriots as well. This is no longer a question. I've asked this as a question many times, Mego. This is not a question anymore.
Next question.
It's not, are the Patriots done? This is now a statement. I think the Patriots are done. I think this is the roster. They're done. Agree or disagree? And how do you feel about it if they are? We'll get to all that with your Bruins phone calls after Trending with Arkin.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I don't think that anybody in the organization anticipates it happening, and I think part of it is all this comes along with DeAndre Hopkins. Ted, you were in Houston with him. Like, he doesn't practice. There's been attitude issues in the past, and there's been a clash in particular with Bill O'Brien. And I just think that they see this as a bridge too far right now. I think they need to bring in somebody who at least has the potential to grow into a potential number one, which is why I looked at Jerry Jeudy as being a really, really good option. The way they're set up right now, it like feels like the offense is set up for Tom Brady to come in and save the day. And Tom Brady's not here anymore.
Burt Breer last night on Early Edition. Patriots aren't in on DeAndre Hopkins, which gave me a pretty simple revelation, which we'll get to here on Jones and Mego with Arkin. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. A lot of you waiting patiently already on the Bruins. Some Patriots calls already, too. But on the Bruins, do they have enough grit? Do they have enough edge? Do they have enough toughness? Clearly, that's what Sweeney had circled at the trade deadline. Some of it was on display last night. Do they have enough to win a cup? And on top of that, that was Montreal's only trip to the Garden. You feeling the rivalry? It's down these days. And despite some fireworks last night, it does feel like it's lost some juice. Again, 617-779-7937. Mego, I hear Burt Breer there, and I'm done asking my question. It's not, are the Patriots done? It's now a statement. They're done. This is the roster. They're going to make draft picks. There will be other middling moves here and there on the margins, the edges of the roster. But Hopkins, that dream is dead. And a big wide receiver upgrade, I think that dream is dead. I hope I'm wrong. I really honestly hope I'm wrong. It's what I've wanted them to do all offseason. Well, that and trade Mac. And so I'm now resigned to the fact that this is what they're doing. This is the team. It's not, are they done? They're done. It's a statement. They're out on Hopkins. I don't think they're in on anything. But you woke up today with quite the revelation, didn't you?
I woke up with a fever.
A fever?
I know. I mean, I know we're not in COVID anymore. I was a little concerned. I took my temperature on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Got a Jeudy fever.
Jeudy fever.
So I was listening to that clip of Burt Breer, and I had to admit, like, after watching a couple Broncos games last year, I was like, I don't really want to watch Russell Wilson. This is gross. Like, it's funny for a couple games, and then I was like, I already have to watch every Patriots game, and then I'm watching a lot of Washington games, which is also not fun football.
Yeah, you're like, I'm just watching so much bad football.
I'm watching a lot of bad football at this point. So I spent some time watching a lot of Jeudy highlights, and I gotta say, he's a lot more versatile than I remembered him being. And I think he is the type of player that the Patriots should absolutely be moving mountains to get right now. Like,
define that. What does moving mountains mean? So a first round pick?
So this morning, so I see Jeff Howe is writing that the Broncos are still holding on to Jeudy at this point, and Sutton, but Jeudy is really the number one draw there, and holding on to him because they see how bad the market is for wide receivers. And now free agency has settled down and teams are still desperate to make trades. And they know that they have a really good piece in Judy. And so they don't necessarily need to bring the price down.
Do you think that's posturing? Or do you believe it?
From the Broncos?
Yes.
It's probably a little bit of
I think it's
posturing.
A little bit of posture. In other words, I still think he's available.
Think they're fielding a lot of calls. I think he is available.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Patriots, I guess I'm looking at their roster right now and I'm going, if you're talking about trading back anyway, which is what you do all the time.
They'll probably do it.
Then just trade for Judy. He's a young guy. And he was Mac's roommate freshman year. I mean, at least you know that those two can coexist. We talk about Jalen and Jason Tatum coexisting.
Yep.
Those two can coexist on the field.
Yes.
Like,
hello.
He's got a fine contract. He's a young guy. So I understand, like, okay, they don't want to take on the last year of his contract, which is going to be the most expensive year of his contract. And then they have to re-up him. Yeah. We all know that Bill Belichick hates doing that. But to the point of the conversation that we had with Tom Curran yesterday, you can't operate the way that you were operating for 20 years and win every single deal. Sometimes, like, I just feel you have to go and get what your team needs.
Right.
And at this point, maybe it's just because I watched like 17 minutes of Jerry Jeudy catches this morning. Like, I'm about it.
So, to your point about winning the deal, did the Bills win the Stephon Diggs trade? Probably not. In fact, they probably got smoked. Jefferson might be better. But you know what? That turned around their organization.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what Justin Jefferson would have been with Josh Allen? Who knows if Josh Allen was ready to work with a rookie receiver? Like, that turned their organization around. Did they win the deal at the end of the day? No, probably not. But that, like, turbocharged the Bills into a Super Bowl contender. They haven't won yet, but they're a contender. So I agree with that philosophy 100%. I'm a little leery of Jerry Jeudy only because of the Mac thing. I'm like, do you like him or does Mac like him? And
wait, what do you mean by that?
Like, do the Patriots like him or does Mac want him? To which I'd say, all right, it's good that Mac's on board with this move, but I am not making all my moves based on Mac Jones, okay, who may not be the quarterback next year.
Well, let me push back on that really quick, Arkham.
Yeah.
Because either yesterday or the day before, you said that this is a Patriots organization that doesn't understand how offense works.
No, they don't.
In the modern NFL.
They don't.
So who cares if the Patriots like him, fair, if Mac likes him?
Fair.
Maybe they should take some of Mac's judgment in consideration if by your description, you don't think that the Patriots understand how a modern offense works.
Do you think Mac knows?
He has some sense.
More than
Alabama.
Matt Patricia, I'd say he does.
Yeah, okay, but Matt Patricia's not making this call. Who knows more about offense, Bill Belichick or Mac Jones? It's a toss-up. I'm not sure either one
How
does.
How about who Bill O'Brien wants?
Good. Who does Bill O'Brien want?
Not DeAndre Hopkins.
Probably, I was just going to say the same. Probably not
okay.
Hopkins.
So if Hopkins, you know what? I'm done with Hopkins. I'm done with D-Hop. I'm done with Hopkins.
Just
he's
when
not
Curran's
coming
getting
here.
In.
He's not coming here. Deal with it, Curran. You got on the boat late. I'm getting off the boat. I'm on a new boat. It's Boat Judy.
Well, Arkan is like, I know you woke up with a fever. Arkan's like patient zero on Jerry Jeudy, the bandwagon.
I've been
like,
talking about Jerry Jeudy for a while. And
Arkan ain't the pangolin. That's where that's where this began.
It's true.
He ate it?
I did. Well, I did something with it.
That's true.
I got the
I watched
fever,
the South Park
okay?
episode.
It doesn't matter
it.
How.
That's true.
It doesn't matter how. The important thing is that it was transmitted.
Yeah,
but
it was a lab leak anyway. Don't worry about it.
wasn't in the market, I guess.
Yeah.
But either way, the Jerry Jeudy thing was one I was always intrigued by because he's an interesting case. He's not a slam dunk. He's not a Steph Diggs. He's not Devontae Adams or Jefferson or one of those guys that you know is going to be elite right away. But he's also been playing with Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke, and the corpse of Russell Wilson. So yep, you really don't know what
so
he
much
can do.
Corpse talk.
I blame Curran for that.
Yeah.
Curran launched corpse talk in this city. That's true.
I think there's a huge ceiling there. Maybe even as high as DeAndre Hopkins. Certainly as high as where he's at right now. But even, you know, him in his prime, I think
Jeudy,
you can get with Jerry Jeudy. And I've thought
Jeudy
that for a while.
You know what I think of every time when we're talking about Jerry Jeudy is the Curb episode. There's a Jeudy doll. And I think the Jeudy doll, thumbs up in the back from Brian the intern. I think the Curb episode with Jeudy is when he cuts the doll's hair. I think that's that episode. And at one point, Larry just goes, Jeudy, Jeudy,
yeah,
Jeudy.
Like the actor. What was the actor he was doing the impression of?
Was that an impersonation or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, he was doing an impression.
Well, so you didn't even get the joke.
I didn't even catch the reference. I just thought he said something funny. Well, what an idiot I am.
I like that voice.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Cary Grant.
I like
Grant.
LD.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, that's
Jeudy,
what,
Jeudy.
So I'm sorry I missed on the Cary Grant reference. But anyway.
Mr. DiMaggio.
All right. Arkan, good point. Arcand is in on Jerry Jeudy. Mego's in on Jerry Jeudy. I still want them to, like, I would have no complaints. If they trade for Jeudy, my only
you better choose now. Are you Team Jeudy?
No, I'm Team Hopkins. So my only gripe would be I'd prefer Hopkins, but I would applaud them for making that move. I think they're done. It's no longer a question. What are the Patriots going to do? I've been phrasing it that way. A lot of people have. They're done. I think they're done. I think this is it. Hopkins, not happening. Jeudy, not happening. None of it's happening. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. We started with the Bruins. We're mixing in some Patriots. We're taking your phone calls on all of it here on Jones and Mego with Arcand. Let's start it off today with Jay in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jay.
Dirk, hey, how's it going? Christian, good to hear you on the radio again. Mego, first time ever.
Excited about the Bruins. Thanks, Jay.
Third and fourth line. Yeah. That's what wins Stanley Cups, I believe.
That's right, Jay.
And we have really good third and fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Jerry Jeudy on the team also.
Me too.
So I don't even know where to go right now.
Okay, well, you can go by.
Jay, I'll tell you what. You call back anytime, my friend.
The Arcand.
I couldn't even understand.
I like what he was saying.
Did the Arcand simps.
I know. Did he say he liked Jeudy on the team or no?
He
said yes. He said
okay,
yes.
Then I like him.
Then you like him. Okay, yeah. Good. Well, he liked both of you guys. He noticeably didn't say anything about me. Do you agree? Do you agree that you win cups based on your third and fourth line?
That's kind of a win for you, by the way.
Do you agree? That's a good point. It could have been worse. Do you agree that you win cups based on a third and a fourth line, your depth?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always saying that. Like, I come in around 12:30, and I'm like, the road to the Stanley Cup runs through your third and fourth line.
Got a tattooed on my back, bro.
So here's
lower back.
Here's where I think people get it wrong. I did get a third line tramp stamp when I was in college. That's true. When I was playing juniors in Manitoba.
Yeah. Moose Jaw, yeah.
But when it comes to...
I thought you were going somewhere else with that anatomy reference.
When it comes to depth, people do... They're not wrong when they say you need depth to win a cup, but what you need is all the other boxes checked, and then your depth comes into play. And this is why the Bruins, why I told you on March 3rd, they're winning the cup. Again, statement. I'm a big statement guy, Mego. I'm not asking questions. I'm not just here to ask questions. I'm making statements.
You're declaring.
Declaring. I have declared the Bruins are winning the cup. I've already planned the parade route. Like, I'm like, who does Bergeron hand the cup to? Bergeron's going to get it first. Who does he hand it to?
Marshawn.
That's what I'm on to. You think?
Who else?
I don't know. Krejci?
Oh, ooh.
Good discussion,
now,
right?
You know what?
617-779.
This is a controversy. When the Bruins win the cup, who does Bergeron pass it to first?
Yeah.
Is it Krejci or is it Marchand?
And it's Marchand.
And is the other one snubbed?
That's what I'm saying. It's definitely a snub.
Oh, yeah.
No, you say it's Marchand?
Absolutely.
I think it's Krejci.
I think Marchand just cemented it last night.
Krejci had to return to the continent to help you on this run.
Has David Krejci ever jumped the opposing player to protect Bergeron's honor? I don't think so.
Maybe he's going to do that now.
To the person who hates Cassidy the second most, here you go. He left the country. I am declaring, and why I think the Bruins are going to win is not just based on their depth. They have everything else. Maybe not a power play these days, but they have everything else. You know, you have the top two lines. They have two lines going now. This is something they've never really had going.
True.
And I want to see it going in the playoffs. I want to see that going in the Stanley Cup playoffs because DeBrusk, that goal last night was awesome. What is it, four straight for DeBrusk?
Yeah.
So a goal in four straight. If he can hang with those two on the top line and they don't need to reunite Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand, then I think they have depth going. But I care more about the top two lines than three and four. If you have those two going and depth beneath it, then you're a wagon, which is what the Bruins are. But I think people generally overrate depth. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jonathan and Randolph. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. And quickly, Jones, if anyone ever calls in to start kissing your butt, it means you failed. So,
that's a good point.
Keep on doing what you're
doing.
I've gone soft.
That's a good point.
I don't think that's true, Jonathan.
Yesterday, you were talking about McCourty's media blitz about Belichick and wondering why it seemed he was being different than a lot of other ex-Patriots. And my conspiracy theory is, and I don't think it's that much of a reach, is last year when the text messages came out of Belichick and Brian Flores and stuff, and it's no secret that McCourty's a big fan of Brian Flores, and so was the whole team. And fairly or not, I think it was seen by a lot of players that Belichick maybe did Brian Flores dirty. And yes, obviously, it's not a secret that the Rooney Rule was not treated very seriously and that there are power brokers like Belichick who can call in favors. But to see it like that, I think might have caused some rifts in that locker room for guys like McCourty who really, really like Brian Flores.
That I might go there on. Like, did the Flores... I mean, that
The Belichick
thing was really bad. What Bill is accused of is being accused. What Bill is a power broker in the NFL. Teams listen to him. They shouldn't. Look at his coaching tree. Why they listen to Bill, I have no idea.
Yeah, Brian Daboll really hasn't worked out.
Okay, for 1 year, he's worked out. Let's see.
Brian Flores was a good coach in Miami.
Brian Flores never made the playoffs.
He was too moral of a man.
So when it comes to Bill Belichick, no one should listen to Bill, okay? His coaching tree stinks. No one should listen to him, but people do. The fact of the matter is he has influence in the league. People listen to him. So Bill gets people hired, and Bill gets people not hired. Who was Bill stumping for? He was stumping for Daboll, not for Brian Flores. So, I don't know. Did that create any rifts? Maybe. I'm sure players weren't a big fan that Bill was prioritizing Daboll over Flores. I'm sure there are players who felt that way. I'm sure there are players who were like, good for Brian Daboll. I don't know. Although most of the guys would have had a more recent connection to Flores than Daboll. But I don't think that's what the media blitz is about. I think the media blitzes Bill is losing his team because he doesn't know what he's doing anymore. I don't know if it goes back to the Flores thing. I think it goes back to how he screwed up Mac and how he went away from Zappi and all the other things we've been talking about. Let Myers go. I think he's lost his locker room, McCourty included. That's the conclusion I came to.
I had a revelation about Devin McCourty last night.
Good.
My revelation.
Whoa, wait, is what epiphany this, day. What the hell?
Was this at the bar around the corner where you were playing trivia?
It was. The revelation that I had was that Devin McCourty is one of the few players who was there for the glory days, saw things fall apart, and then got into media. Most of the guys left while the glory days were still happening. So they had all these glowing, flowery things to say and never really saw from the inside what the downfall from the Brady, fallout looked like.
It's not a bad theory.
McCourty saw the whole thing.
Christian, good to hear you on the radio again.
Thank you.
I agree with part of that, but there's some other guys. I mean, like, as he wasn't there for this recent awful season, but like Julian Edelman kind of saw the downturn post Brady.
Yep.
He had to play with Cam Newton.
Yeah, but he only played like 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, because
he was
injured
for the year. Yeah, so he didn't see it all come down. He saw 1 year.
That's a good theory, though. Were there guys in between the dynasty? You know, in between the first three and the second three, were there guys in the middle, media guys?
There's
kind of
like Damian Woody, Bruce Gibb, but I mean, those guys were all so successful. Yeah.
Moss didn't win squat.
That's true.
You know, Moss is in the media, but
they were still flying high at the time. Say, like, they're mediocre now.
Don't you feel
09 and 10 was as low as it got around here.
Right, but they still were a playoff team, you know?
But
yeah.
I don't even know who I'm agreeing with here. To someone's point, it's not like they ever became irrelevant. And I think with that Moss team, or those Moss teams, even having the undefeated regular season is a little bit of a pat on the back that those guys still give themselves.
That's true.
Like, well, we were pretty much the best team ever.
It's true.
We just lost the Super Bowl.
It's true. So we'll add your Patriots phone calls to the Bruins discussion we've been having. Do the Bruins have enough grit? Do they have enough toughness, enough edge to go on a 2-month run? And how are you feeling about the Bruins and Habs rivalry at this stage? It's the only time the Canadiens were at the Garden was last night. Furthermore, I think the Patriots are done. Mego had her epiphany on Jerry Jeudy. That's who she wants. I don't think the Patriots are getting Hopkins.
Jerry!
I think they're done.
Sir!
Yeah.
Jeudy!
There it is. That's what I was looking
Jerry!
For.
Jeudy!
There it is. That's who we
Sir!
Want.
Yeah. Jeudy!
Arcan and Mego are on board.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jeudy!
Arcan also followed up on the McCourty media blitz with an interesting take there. So you can weigh in on all of it. 617-779-7937. And if you've been listening, especially the last couple of days, you know me. I'm as sharp as it gets when it comes to betting. 0-4 last night. But I'm right back on that horse. We have Bet Roulette, which we do every Friday here on the show. That comes your way next.
Jones and Medco return after this on WEEI.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boo! Boo! That's it! Gambling!
We have a couple of college games on the docket today for Bet Roulette. This one is the Providence Friars, who were 4.5-point underdogs at Kentucky.
Fade the local team. That's what I'm doing. Apologies, Providence.
Kentucky gets it done.
Does Providence still sing Taylor Swift at the end of the game? Remember when they did that?
No.
It was like a big deal. It was like a viral thing.
No.
Ah!
Can I tell you that no one had made any small talk with me whatsoever?
This is another college game. Iona, the Iona Gales, I think it is.
Yeah.
UConn. I am done with UConn people.
9.5 under.
UConn people are annoying.
It's coming up in a little bit. I think they're tipping off at 4:30. Megan, what do you think?
Nobody gives a rat's ass about UConn. Nobody cares. Nobody cares at all. I had no association with UConn at all growing up. I never even thought about it. The only time I thought about it was when my freshman year roommate said, I almost went to UConn. And I was like, huh, why would you go there? Turn off that music.
Wins for the Bruins this weekend. They have two games this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at Minnesota.
Boston comes into St. Paul and snaps Minnesota's point streak.
At Buffalo.
For Jeremy Swayman's second consecutive shutout.
The over-under is 1.5 wins. Do I think they'll win both games? And I think the answer here has to be no, I don't. It's hard for me to envision that right now with the way things are going. Minnesota stinks. Buffalo.
Maybe I'll just move to the Mid-Atlantic.
Just
I'll never have to hear about UConn again because, again, the rest of the country doesn't give a rat's ass about your school. I didn't know the UConn thing was a thing until I moved to New England over a decade ago. I had no association with UConn at all other than that they were the Huskies and I like Huskies.
True.
UConn people are annoying. Like they're extremely annoying about their basketball team. I just am tired of hearing about it. And every year that I've been up here, it's had to be like UConn, 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 UConn.
Well, that worked. That worked. Great work, as always, by Ryan Garvin behind the glass. It's our second Whopper hit of the week.
It's all these remixes.
Both of the it is. It's a
UConn.
It's Ryan X Burger King, or like Mego X Ryan X Burger King. I don't quite know how those mashups work, but that's what it is. The best.
Tackle, get a freaking tackle, freaking tackle. This is some
That one's amazing.
The best part about Mego dumping on UConn is like 2 seconds later, a guy in a UConn sweatshirt came over and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing here today? We were at BetMGM last week and we're like, oh, you know, we're just doing a radio show.
I'm
just crapping
I'm
on
like,
your favorite.
He may, but he may. He didn't
like
hear
had
it.
A
he
huge
missed it.
Smile. I was like, look at the back of my phone. It has a Husky on it. Love UConn.
You know, I'm with you. I hate UConn too right now.
I'm over.
Oh, I mean,
don't
Ryan.
Like you guys.
Ryan, hashtag pray for our hogs.
Suey.
Pray for our hogs because that was a rough one last night.
I will not.
I hope people
going
out there
agnostic
will.
On it.
I believe I'm the only one who hit. If I heard that right, I think I'm the only one who hit.
I definitely didn't because the Bruins kicked everyone's ass last weekend.
I said
and,
Kentucky.
UConn's
yeah.
still in the tournament, so clearly Megan didn't either. We got six new panels here for Bet Roulette. We roll a die, and whatever side it lands on, we will go to a corresponding wager and make that wager. Jones, you're the man first. Of the hour here. Why don't you go up first there?
Great. Yep. There's the roll. I can't see what it is. Hold on.
Bad bounce. Go look. Bad bounce.
Hurry up.
Two. What's two?
Oh, I think it's the one game I might not be on.
Oh, there you go. That would be the San Diego State Aztecs, who are 7-point underdogs, taking on the one-seeded Alabama Crimson Tide, Jones.
I am on the first half under in this game, just FYI.
I'm sorry, 7.5.
I am already on the first half under. I know that's not the question, but there's a little bonus bet to rate next week, Ryan. I'll take Alabama, minus 7.5. I did not love what I've seen out of San Diego State thus far. Alabama looked shaky to start their second game last weekend, but they came roaring back. It's a team that has an unbelievable amount of talent. They are under a spotlight, and it's not a good one. I think the pressure will build the closer they get to the Final Four. But right now, I think it's off enough where it's not a big national news story. It's a sports and a college basketball story. I think Alabama wins for sure. And I think Alabama covers and wins by the minus 7.5 there.
All right, Jones hot on the Crimson Tide. Megan, you're up.
Okay.
It's a lot of points. I mean, I will say that. 7.5 is more points than I feel comfortable doing. But
Mego with a
Gronk
Hulk smash roll there.
Yeah.
Lands on a 5, and that 5 is the Xavier Musketeers 3-seed and the Texas Longhorns. This is in the Midwest region, Sweet 16, the last game tipping off tonight. And according to FanDuel, it looks like Texas is 4.5-point favorites for the Longhorns. Who do you like there, Megan?
Texas is a 2-seed?
Yes.
Yes.
And Xavier's a 3?
Correct.
Indeed.
So I'm going to go with the dog here. I'm going to go with Xavier, and I'm saying that as a former, let me brush my shoulders off, a 10 athlete.
Mm.
That is my conference, and Xavier does a much better job representing us than George Washington does of themselves
right
now.
Atlantic 10, yeah.
So I'm riding with the A-10. I am going with Xavier plus 4.5.
Okay, taking those points. Taking those points.
All right, lock it up. Time for my roll. I'll stand up for you,
John. No, I mean, please, would you? Like, try a little bit. Oh, he shot. Oh, I like that. That's not a bad roll move. He tried to, I mean, he missed.
A 5-2. All right, let me try it again.
He missed it by a mile. I mean, airball city
over
here.
Yeah, these are terrible.
But I like that. I like the move. I like throwing the dice and try to get it through the hoop.
Can you roll something that we haven't rolled yet, please?
Yeah, try it again. Try to actually make the shot, would you? Oh, no, never mind. I just.
4.
4 is the roll.
Shots weren't falling, and
I rolled a 2.
Mego
rolled a 5. Arcan's got a 4.
All right,
number 4?
Here you go. Number 4 is Princeton and Creighton. The fundamentals, the fundamental game here is Creighton is the favorite in this one. I'm looking at a 10.5-point spread, and I'm going to go ahead with Princeton. Give me the Princeton Tigers covering that 10.5 points.
That's a lot of points.
I think that's way too many points, and they've already had a couple of big upsets here. I like Creighton. I think they're a good team. They're in the tournament every year, and they're well-coached and have a good sort of system going there. But I think Princeton's not going to get blown out. I just don't see it happening, and I've been wrong about every single thing, so they're probably going to get smoked in this game tonight. It's the 9 o'clock game, second to last in the South region. Give me Princeton.
Well, and if you waited till today, I think you got an extra point out of that, because I'm on the other side of that arc, and at -9.5, so I think you got a free point there.
All right.
By waiting until game day. So there you go. That's Bet Roulette. Arcan's got Princeton. +10.5. Mego's on the Xavier Musketeers. Some A-10.
Do it for Pete Carrill.
Some A-10 love at +4.5. And what am I on? Alabama, -7.5. All college hoops.
Yeah.
All college hoops.
I had other side, the Celtics and Pacers, Lightning Bruins, and the other college games were the other sides of the die there.
Well,
so
that's what we got here tonight for this week. We'll recap it next Friday. And we'll all sound like idiots. That tends to be Ryan's
that's
specialty.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah, win or lose, that one you can lock up for sure. We'll get to your phone call. 617.
You caught.
I mean, we could really get a lot out of that. UConn, I think I saw now, has the third best odds to win the championship. So, like, they looked awesome last night. Again, pray for our Hogs, specifically mine, but Ryan's too. Pray for him, because that was a beatdown last night. I was on the money line. I was on the Hogs +4.5. I was all about it, Mego.
You had to rant responsibly. You had to rant carefully, because the rants sometimes, they don't come back in your favor.
No, you're going to get some blowback, because UConn looked good. And again, I think they have the third best odds to win
the whole
thing.
There were 3 great games last night in the UConn game.
Yeah, and that one. That one was that one was not close. 617-779-7937. Yeah, get out of here. Here's what we've already talked about. We've already talked about the Bruins, and we'll continue to take your thoughts on it. I like the edge and the grit. I actually thought it was a fun game.
Oh, my God.
What?
I've been corrected. Sorry.
What?
I need to...
Is Xavier not in the A-10 anymore?
Xavier has been a Big East team since 2013.
When you said A-10, I wasn't sure they were still in the conference, because there's so much movement.
They were in the conference when I was in college.
But there's so much movement in college sports. I don't know it anymore.
You know what? I'm still riding with my pick. But
yeah,
thank you to the text line for clarifying that.
Segment's over. Too late now. I mean, that's you're stuck with
I'm stuck with Xavier.
A former A-10 school. Yeah. Former A-10 school. But there you go. When you said it, I wasn't 100% sure that was right. But again, this is something I used to know. College conferences,
I'm not a huge Xavier head.
Well, is she going to change your pick now?
No. I'll still ride with them.
No, she just said she wasn't Arcand.
Well, I was coming back into my little closet here, so I missed it.
If your headphones were on, you still would have been listening. It's fine. 617-779-7937. We talked about the Bruins. The win last night was kind of awesome. Do they have enough when it comes to toughness and grit? They tried to add it at the trade deadline. I'm a little curious. I want to see it. I think they do. I'd lean towards they do, but I don't know. It's a statement now, by the way. I think the Patriots are done. I don't think they're adding Hopkins, although Mego definitely wants Jerry Jeudy. Should they be in, or do you think they're done? Again, 617-779-7937. That's what we've discussed so far. You can jump in on all of it. And we're going to circle back to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, we thought, was going to do an interview today. I'm not so sure he's going to be doing that with ESPN. We'll see. If it happens, we'll be sure to turn it around. I wonder if the Celtics can flip the switch. Because I think flipping the switch and winning a championship is the one way you can keep Jaylen Brown. Can the Celtics do it? And does it even matter? We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
Brian Scalabrine joins Jones and Mego every Wednesday afternoon at 4:30. Brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and Dr. Matthew Lepresti at Leonard Hair Transplant. Scal, Wednesday afternoons at 4:30 on WEEI.
Baseball is back.
and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.